For dinner, what's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Greetings, salutations, hello.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, mi amor.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land.
Podcast Land. Whatever land you might live in. Radio Land, Podcast Land, Candy Land, whatever land. Maryland.
I was going to say. Greenland.
Greenland, Iceland.
Tonight, on What's for Dinner, I'm actually going to be eating.
She's eating mashed potatoes. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the show. As always, I am your host, guide, friend.
I hear that something's playing in my ear. Oh. Somebody else's theme music was playing.
That son of a bitch.
What an asshole.
What an asshole indeed.
We might see him later, though.
I pretty much think you will. Hey, guys. Yeah. Welcome to the show. And as always, Allison is here.
Hi. Well, not as always.
Not as always, but luckily for us this week, Allison is with me by my side
in the podcast slash studio
in the studio slash living room. She's not actually beside me, she's across from me eating her mashed potatoes, drinking her grape juice.
I'm actually virtually in another country right now, but I'm putting myself in a hologram format here. So
what?
I'm not even here. You think I'm here, but this is just my holographic portrayal eating soup and mashed potatoes.
Allison, were you sampling your work again, baby?
No, actually. That's what happens when I don't sample my work. If I don't smoke, then my brain goes into mush. It's like that episode of Futurama where, I don't know if anybody out there watches Futurama, but the robots, how they operate is they drink alcohol. That's in order to keep them going. So whenever you see the robot always drinking beer or whatever, that's keeping him functioning. But one time, they like pleaded for him to go sober, and as he was sober, he was sloshed.
So what you're saying is you're a robot who needs weed.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I see. Then I will call you
Weedatron, Tokatron.
Tokatron, smoke out.
Exactly.
Tokatron, roll up.
Oh, there you go, baby.
That was, of course, Optimus Prime, voiced by Peter Cullen, father of one of our wonderful listeners. So, yeah, guys, welcome to the show. This has been an exciting week for us. I hope you guys have had an exciting week.
Have had.
Or happened to have had. I don't know.
Haphazardly have happened.
Yes. Two great things happened this weekend for us. Number one, my younger brother came out to visit.
Whee!
It was so great. Because so I'm not sure about you guys. If you're lucky enough to live near your family, that's fantastic. I'm very jealous of that.
Some people would disagree with you.
That's true. That's true. If you do have a good family. I've been very lucky that I was raised in a really great family, from my brother, my sibling, to cousins and aunts and uncles.
I was talking about that today, actually.
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, and I was very lucky growing up that literally my entire family, I'm talking all my aunts and uncles, all my cousins, my grandparents, we all lived probably at the longest 45 minutes from one another, you know, just very close. And I kind of thought that's how it always was. I might have talked about this in the last show. But since I moved out to L.A. over 12 years ago, everybody in Florida still lives there, with the exception of one or two cousins who are now in college in the Northeast, whereas I am here. And over the 12 and a half years I've been out here, I can count on one hand how many times any of my family has come out here for an extended amount of time. And mainly it's not that they don't like me, it's just that I go back to Florida so often that they're like, what's the point? You come back here.
Yeah, they get to see you.
Yeah, but what's important to me is that my family sees that, you know, hey, this is the life I've created, you know, on my own, and I'm very proud of it. So, like I said, over the years, my parents have come out maybe three times, and my brother has come out twice, but both times he was with my parents, and the second time, not only my parents, but with his daughter. So this was the first time he had come out here by himself, and it was he needed it. He needed a break from his life, and we definitely needed some family out here. So it's just fantastic, just hanging out. We actually went to the Hollywood Bowl. This was fun. We went to the Hollywood Bowl, which, if you don't know, is this huge outdoor amphitheater. And we saw the Los Angeles Philharmonic, big orchestra, perform the music and score to a bunch of Looney Tune cartoons. So they were playing Looney Tune cartoons on these huge screens, and a live orchestra doing the score, and it was basically like watching cartoons with about 10,000 friends, maybe even more than 10,000, whatever. Beautiful. The interesting thing for me is, as you know, if you're a fan of the show or have listened to any of show, Allison not only works at a medical marijuana dispensary, she's a patient, as am I. We're both outspoken supporters of legalization of marijuana. And I decided that I could chew very loudly.
I was like, I'm just in case nobody's hearing me.
So at this concert, I took a piece of medicated chocolate.
That he did not realize was like three times the dosage of normal ones that look exactly the same.
I didn't know. That's a I guess they have what's the word?
The dosage is written
dosages,
on it?
Dosages, thank you, yeah. I don't think to look at the dosage. I look at the flavor. Ooh, mint chocolate chip. I like that. I assume they all have the same potency.
He ate basically a little under the equivalent of like a full regular bar. This was a three times bar.
So, needless to say, when we got there, and I'm just expecting, because I've had candy before, these kind of chocolates. I'm expecting just a nice buzz to really enjoy this, you know, this moment with my brother and seeing Looney Tunes cartoons. This thing starts kicking in. And folks, I don't know where I was. I was like so... I do this as a bit in my act, but I think it's perfect for here. Like, normally, you smoke a little weed, and you're like, man, I am high. This thing took me from high to...
Holy crap.
Fuck! I was out of my mind. And nothing is worse... Like, if you're with your friends and you're really, you know, whether stone, drunk, whatever, you're around familiar people, you feel comfortable just to be like, man, I'm so fucked up. To be in a public place with that many people, you know, like the paranoia, and then you're just looking at like, I wonder what that guy's thinking. I wonder what his life is like. I wonder what that, oh, and I'm looking at a family walking in going, okay, I bet she's a bitch. She's the older mother, and she's kind of domineering, and that's the son. He's a put. And then this woman starts talking. You remember that woman who started talking to us? Because you guys hit it off about Pavement, being fans of Pavement.
Oh, yeah.
And here I am in my mind going, don't say anything stupid. Just don't talk. But if you don't talk, now you're going to look even weirder. So say something, but don't make it stupid. And I'm like, So it was like the most internal turmoil. Luckily, that was about 2 hours before the show started. God bless you, honey. My wife, the classy lady, just shoving mashed potatoes in your face and burping.
Could you actually hear that?
Could I? Yeah, I heard that. You're on a microphone.
How did you hear that with this microphone in my hand?
No, but I thought I pushed it away a little bit.
Microphone. Do you want me to turn your mic off while you
eat? No.
She shovel smashed potato.
I told you I was going to be eating. He wanted to make the podcast right now. I said, but I have to eat. Because you can eat on the podcast. It's called What for Dinner.
And apparently What for Dinner is very gassy potatoes. So anyway, just completely...
We're adorable.
Completely stoned. But by the time the show started, it mellowed out, and I had a great, great time. And I really love my brother, and it was great having him here. And I miss him already.
We
he
already
left yesterday.
Miss him, yeah.
It's really... It, like, we forget that. You know, we have wonderful friends out here. But there's something so important about family. You know? Like
you understand that. I really don't.
Well, yeah, because you... Allison, unfortunately, has a she's very close to her mother, who is an amazing woman. Sweet,
so
beautiful, strong, just an amazing woman. The rest of her family, she just has, I mean, I don't know if you want to get into this.
I don't really want to get into it, okay. But I'm just not huge fans of a lot of the different people in my family. They're not very kind.
And we'll leave it at that. But now you do have a good family. Which brings... To the next big thing, Allison and I just, and I say just meaning 2 days ago, so when you hear this, it'll be 2 days ago, celebrated our 2-year anniversary as husband and wife. 2 years, baby.
I know. Our relationship is officially able to wear pull-ups.
That's good, because you are full of shit. There's a little bit of it. Yep. No, 2 years, honey.
2 years.
2 years.
Two married years.
I know. 4.5 together, which is the longest I've ever been with anybody. Longest ever.
Don't.
And you, I'm almost up to your record, right? 6 years was your longest relationship?
Mm-hmm.
So 1.5 more years.
You're just trying to beat him?
Yeah, and then I'm out.
And then you're done.
I'm out. At like 6 years and a day, I'm like, honey, we got to talk.
All right. So I'll just get the little black book ready and waiting.
So 2 years. So let's talk. I don't know about you, honey. Because Allison, like I said, 6 years was your long. She is a relationship aficionado. Seriously. Whereas I am on such a learning curve.
Baby.
Like, I think, I'm not sure if I talk about this on the show, but I always equate it as like a minor league bat boy suddenly being thrust into the major leagues as a hitter. It's like, I don't know what the fuck to do. And she's like,
but he's read storybooks, so he understands, you know, the fairy tale aspect of it. Happily ever after. The end, right? The end.
That's right. Yes, yes.
No, honey, there's dishes. There's bills.
Oh, real life? That's the thing. They never show that in the fairy tales. That's fucked up. Like, there should be, like Cinderella Part 2, and she's just, like, going, Jesus, Charming! Could you just fucking pick up your socks?
Exactly.
Wash your dishes, Charming! And he's like, oh, God, you're such a fucking nag. Go back to your stepmother if you hated her so much.
Really, I'm not enjoying you leaving the cap off of the mead. I don't even know. I was trying to think of like an old
drink. I wish you didn't
leave
your slipper on the fucking stairs. I wouldn't be in this mess. I love you.
That was my I love you. It was a squeal.
That was not a squeal. That was like a... It looks like you're trying to take a shit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it sounds like, what it looks like. But I've been very lucky that I have someone like you to be very patient with me.
Mookie, I love you.
I love you. You know, somebody...
You're my baby.
Oh, thank you, baby. Like, it really... It's really... Relationship is really fucking weird. I never knew anything about relationships other than the fairy tales, other than the stories. So then to actually be in one and realize, oh my God, there's so much more than just, you know, saying, I love you. There's I'm muting your mic because I hear you opening the weed and you're banging the thing on the table. Allison is about to partake of some medicine.
I was going to say, I need it. I need it. I've had a long day.
Yes, she has. But, like, there's fucking work in this. And I know that sounds so stupid to say. Anybody out there who's in a relationship, or anybody out there with half a brain more than me would go, of course there's work. And in theory, you say, of course there's work. But holy shit, it's like real work. It's like, I've become, my hair's gotten a lot grayer since we've been married.
I'm sorry, baby.
You sure you don't want a mic? I offered you a mic stand.
No, it's all right.
You'd rather just lay the mic on the arm of the chair to lean into it?
Yep, because as soon as I get this bowl pack, then I'm just going to... It's going to be fine. Everything will be fine as soon as I get the bowl packed.
I can't wait to have kids with you.
Hey, kids, you'll be able to go play in the dirt all you want as long as you pack mommy a bowl first. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, for those who think she's serious, she is kidding.
I would never be that way with my children until they're 16.
Would you smoke with our kids when they turn 16?
Are you kidding me? Maybe 18. I'd have to see how I feel at the time when I have children, but oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, absolutely. I'm probably going to be one of the, I anticipate myself to be one of those mothers where by the age of 14, my kids probably know I smoke pot and they're like, you're such a hypocrite. And I'm like, you can't until you drive. Or I don't know, something ridiculous.
Can't until you drive. When you drive, then you can smoke weed. That's the most fucked up logic.
No, you know what it is? I'm going to take a cue. My mom had a great thought.
Kids, only one.
Kids are going to do it regardless. I mean, they're just going to do it regardless. So either you tell your kids, oh, it's such a terrible thing, don't you ever do it, which will basically just drive them to want to do it. Because by you saying it's not good for them, what do kids want to do? Everything their parents tell them not to. So I would just let them know, look, it's here are the aspects that'll provide you. It'll probably be the opposite. It'll probably be like freaking family ties, where we'll have like a real straight edge kid. And we're like that hippie couple that's like, whatever, just take it, just smoke a bowl. But I feel like my daughter or my son's going to like look at me at 16 and be like, Mom, look, I know you smoked when you were my age. is this? What are you doing?
It's themed to Family Ties.
Oh. Really? All of that for that?
No? I bet we've been together. Hey, kids. For a million years.
I'm
you know,
probably gonna smoke pot. And I bet we'll be together. So you better learn my hiding places.
Aw, gee, Mom. I found Mommy's weed, and she said we could smoke it.
Ah, not till you're 16. Are you in that car yet? Are you driving yet?
Oh, Mom. What would we do, baby, without Kush? What would we do, baby? All right. So, yeah, Allison, I don't know if I'm... I can't be a hypocrite, but I'm not gonna allow my child to experiment or anything until they're at least 16. Yeah.
Well, that's why I say I'm not gonna sit here and try to pretend that I'm gonna be one way or another. I think that the more freedom you give a child, the more that they're not going to want to do the things that you're telling them. I mean, if you want to make a child do everything wrong, then absolutely put every rule in the book down, because you're either going to get a child that's not confident when they get older, or you're going to get a child that's completely and totally the opposite. They're either going to be a weakling and not confident, because they'll always think that they've got to worry and, you know, suppress every desire that they have because their parents told them it's not allowed. Or they're going to grow up and go, well, fuck them. They didn't know what the hell they were talking about. And they're going to be complete and total, you know, just renegades.
So you got to find that happy medium as well.
Yeah, and that's why I say, like, I don't want to give my kids a bunch of rules, but I want to give them guidelines. Like, my mom didn't like that I smoked pot, but she said, look, you're going to go and run around and do it anyway, and I'd rather you not do it in a situation where you could possibly get into trouble. I'd much rather you do it when I know that you're going to be doing it, and I actually arranged a pot party. My mom would kill me if she found out that I said this. But whatever, I mean,
Well, no, that's a very progressive way of doing it, and... I mean, obviously, look, all kidding aside, you turned out really well.
Thank you.
I'm serious.
Well, she gave me a lot of confidence to make my own choices. And when I chose made decisions that I wasn't happy with, I knew that it was okay that decision happened. And the negative outcome was my lesson. And the way to come away from the whole situation was to, you know, take that lesson onto my next journey. So... You know, yes, I do smoke pot, but I think that I have a really functional way to do it. My mother didn't encourage it. We fought about it all the time. But she said, look, I would rather you know. There was a situation where a bunch of kids had, like, piled into a car. Like, six of them piled into a car, and they got into a big old accident. And half of them died. The other half became paralyzed. And they were kids. So my mom heard that had happened and thought, oh, my God, what would happen? I know for a fact that my daughter's, like, running around with all of her friends, and they're smoking pot in these parking lots and these random, you know, shopping centers and whatnot. If she makes the wrong decision, gets into somebody's car, they're going to get into an accident. I could prevent that by just saying, look, you're going to smoke your stupid pot anyway. Plan a little party, invite a few of your friends over to my house, and just quietly...
Do it there.
Yeah.
In a safe place.
In a safe place. And then that way, you know, and...
And your mom...
Like I said, my mom, would, like I said, would kill me if I brought this up, because she always thinks that people are going to look down on her for that. And I try to say, do you understand that pretty much every kid that I grew up with became addicted to Oxycontins or, like, something really terrible that they'd fucking put up their nose, or even worse? People that... And they are all usually the parents who forbid their kids to do anything. Like, the kind of forbidding that would be like, I'm going to kick you out of my house if I ever find out that you smoke pot. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, like, they would smoke pot, of course. And then they would get kicked fully out. And then these kids would be, like, staying on their friends' couches and whatnot. These are 16-year-old kids. But it's because then, at that point, they needed... They were so depressed with life because these parents would make them feel like shit for something simple like pot, that they would go off into harder and harder things. And we had, I mean, kids overdose. Like, I remember tons of kids that overdosed because they would go. So I'd say to my mom, look at what these other people are doing. And I'm smoking pot. I don't even want to do these other drugs. I mean, people take ecstasy and do. I never even tried that.
See, you haven't done ecstasy. I've done ecstasy.
So I've done mushrooms, and I tried acid a billion times. I've tried acid a bunch. I tried acid a few times
a kid. That's why I think I'm a hologram right now eating mashed potatoes.
No, but I really...
Let me show you, when was, because I don't think I ever know this. When was the first time you smoked weed, honey?
technically. First time I ever inhaled weed.
What a great sound, by the way.
Whatever, sorry.
That is the actual sound of my wife hitting the bong.
Oh, they know. But anyway, so the so the first time I smoked weed was 14.
Right around the situation? What was? Give me the scenario.
Oh,
you. I really
this.
Don't know the story.
I but know it didn't work. I mean, if you know anything about pot, the first time you smoke, for the most part, you don't feel it. It's almost like your body's trying to understand what is coming into your body and into your bloodstream. So first time you do it, you can expect a couple of side effects like cotton mouth or things like that, but you probably won't be high. So the very first time, I was with a friend of mine, and we went to this skate shop, this like rollerblade shop near my house. And there was a couple of boys from our school. Funny enough, I saw one of them not too terribly long ago. But boys from our high school that worked there. And we went to hang out. And this was when I had just started inhaling cigarettes. Like, I didn't inhale. I just fake smoked cigarettes when I was 13. And then eventually one day I decided I need to be cool. Like, it wasn't even peer pressure. It was like, I want to be able to show kids that I can inhale my cigarette. So I would go in the mirror, so I wouldn't do it in front of people, and I would practice inhaling. So now that I knew I could smoke cigarettes.
But you'd practice inhaling in front of the mirror.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to, like, cough or choke in front of people.
Were you smoking at the time?
A cigarette, yeah.
So you're in the bathroom, smoking, looking in the mirror, going, okay.
Put it in your mouth. No, I'd put it in my mouth, and then I would go, and I wouldn't cough. Like, I actually never coughed, but I was afraid I was going to cough, so I didn't want to do it in front of my friends. I would just, you know, like, imagine smoking a cigarette, but just letting the smoke be in your mouth and not fully inhaling it.
So it's kind of like,
I'd just puff it.
It's kind of like those, like in Grease 2, when Michael was practicing the motorcycle in the park by himself. So when he finally showed up as a cool rider, he already knew all the tricks. So you were like practicing here, and then you show up like with a dun dun, and you're like, no,
check
God.
This.
Check this out, friend.
I can
yes,
breathe.
I equate a Grease 2 reference.
I like it, baby. I like it. That's why I married you. For your grief, Grease 2 references.
For my grief?
For your Grease 2. So, yeah.
I love your Grease 2.
Ooh, you love both my Greases. What? I don't know.
I love your creases.
So
you practice inhaling in front
now,
of the mirror.
So now I knew that I could inhale, and these boys, I guess they were being kind of flirty, and they were like, hey, do you want to smoke a joint with us? And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to try that.
So you were 13 at the time still?
14.
Oh, now you're 14. Okay.
No, I started smoking without inhaling at 13. But then at 14, I was like, enough is enough. You better fucking inhale. So that's when I taught myself to inhale. And shortly after then, when I was like a cigarette smoking pro, that's when they said, hey, do you guys want to smoke a joint? And in my mind, I'd been wanting to try it, but I was, again, afraid to inhale cough in front of people and, like, just be made fun of for that. So now that I was an extraordinaire at these cigarettes, I said, yeah, I'll smoke it. And remember, we went out back, and I smoked it, and really all that I got was, like, the side effects that you get just, like, naturally in your body, like cotton mouth, and I was a little hungry, and I wanted, like, just a snack on food and stuff. But I wasn't high. My head didn't change. And then...
Dun, dun, dun.
Like... I don't even know how long later, a couple weeks later, I had officially tried pot. So a guy that I knew, a friend of mine who was a pot smoker, I was like, oh, man, I tried it the other day, but it didn't do anything. And he goes, oh, that happens. It just doesn't work for the first time. So here, try it now. And we went in his neighborhood park with an inhaler.
Like an asthma inhaler?
An asthma inhaler that he had changed into a pipe by putting like a screen from the sink in the inhaler part, and just, weird. I mean, it was just terrible, but it was great. We totally smoked out of this thing, and I was so high. She's so lovely, she's so high.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
We now have technical little accoutrement when we do our jokes. I love that. So, I was so high. I remember... he was in a band, and I was like, let's go play music. I'm like, I'll play the tangerine. And then I remember keeling over laughing for probably a straight hour for the fact that I had said tangerine instead of tambourine.
I just thought that now. I can't believe I didn't pick that up.
I was like, yeah, bro, let's go. I'll play the tangerine. And then we both looked at each other and went, and fucking laugh for like at least an hour.
Hey man, let me put that banana around my head. I mean bandana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're adorable. That's what we said. That's exactly what the next line was. But no, and then so everything else is a blur from then on.
But that was it right away.
That was it. Yeah, I 14. I started smoking. Now I was smoking pretty much regularly.
But let me ask you this, because like, for me, first time I smoked, I think I was 18 or 19, and my younger brother, had already been smoking in high school. And I had been told it's bad, it's wrong. This is before I knew that my dad had ever was a pot smoker, or whatever, or at least was a pot smoker. Did anybody ever tell you like it's wrong, you shouldn't do it, and that didn't affect you at all?
No.
Did anybody ever have the talk with you like you shouldn't?
Well,
do
yeah. I mean, I took Dare, and I was in school, and you know everybody said things like that. But my whole thing was that I've always been a creative person. And the things that I gravitate towards have been things that very often have pot involved in some way, or that the creative people probably have smoked. Like everything, every bit of music. I love the Beatles, and I love Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. Like, I grew up loving 60s music. Like, I was born a hippie. I was just born a hippie. And that's not even from my mom's influence, because half the shit that I know, she doesn't even know from, like, the 60s and stuff. So maybe I was alive back then. Something, and then I was reincarnated in the 80s.
What a chip.
No, but to me it was something that felt natural and felt good, and I naturally am a pretty wound hyper person,
and pot levels you out
very much so. Like, all of a sudden I can start to concentrate on all the things that I want to concentrate on. And I'm not doing it with like crazy pills, you know, which
I
think are way worse for you.
See, I go hit or miss on pot. Like, for me, pot amplifies whatever mood I'm in. If I'm in a good mood, I feel great. But if I have any kind of depression or any kind of self-doubt or whatever, it just amplifies that a billion times.
That's how my mom is.
Yeah,
my mom always says to me, is this the kind of pot that makes you happy? And I said, well, Mom, honestly, like, all these pots are the kind of...
By the way, that's
a
very accurate impression of your mom.
Is this the kind of... And she doesn't smoke a lot either. She's just... It's like every now and again she wants to relax. But like you said, if she's in a bad... any sort of a bad headspace, it brings it out. It's like the same thing they say about tripping, mind-altering things. Mm-hmm. If you're in a bad mood, it's going to accentuate the bad mood.
I could definitely see that as true.
Okay.
Well, good for you, baby. I'm glad you're working with what you love.
I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy. When I was young... all I did was watch cartoons, watch TV, smoke pot, play songs on the guitar with friends, and just all around be like, I don't know, silly and creative. And the idea that I grew up and my job is, I am, and by the way, I'd like to remind everybody that I was also at Universal Studios, I was Scooby-Doo. So I was a live-action cartoon at one point. And now that I'm in the movie Epic, I'm a real cartoon. So I never knew that I was going to grow up.
Is it a coincidence that Scooby rhymes with Doobie, Bunny Jones?
Is it a coincidence that Scooby-Doo and Shaggy are the quintessential high cartoon of all time? Quintessential. They're the ones who are known for being high, mm-hmm. for having the munchies. The two of them. That's it. And that's who I was. I was fucking Scooby and Shaggy. It's
you were
amazing.
Fucking Scooby and Shaggy?
I was both
You're
of
a
them,
whore.
Doggy style. Yeah. So the idea, that I would grow up to become a weed slanging cartoon, dirty guitar comic is just, it's like I'm doing everything that I love. Like, I'm literally doing everything that I love.
And I'm glad, because that's how we wouldn't have met if not for comedy.
Every one of those
things.
And
weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you think about it, like,
weed and comedy.
You being at Universal, you smoking weed, then moving to here. Well, you moving here, going to Universal. Through Universal, you met somebody else who introduced you to somebody else who put you on their show at the Improv, which is how we met. But you wouldn't have introduced that other person had it not been for weed, where you were working at the weed store.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So thank God for weed, Scooby-Doo, and...
other people.
And other people.
No, it's pretty amazing.
I know, baby. 2 years. I'm very happy.
Mookie, you know? I love my baby. I love our life. Look at us. We're like, this is
don't
where we're
be, don't
meant
be
to
too
be.
Happy.
Huh?
Huh? Happy's not entertainment.
You know what's so depressing?
What's that, baby?
Things.
Oh, my God. I hate things.
Yeah, they just
things. Things bring me down so bad.
But you know what makes me happy?
What's that, baby?
Things.
Oh, my God. I love things.
Oh, God. Things are so joyful.
Things bring out the best in me.
I.
What?
Joy.
I like when you say Yiddish like a Gentile. Oi. Excuse me, sir, but oi. Oi to
oy
you,
joy.
Sir. Oi, joy, joy, joy.
You're my
joy.
Baby, and I love you.
Yes, and we got a big trip coming up.
I don't know where we're going.
Ooh, should I reveal what the trip is right now on the air so
no.
your excitement is palpable and recorded forever?
No, I don't want to know yet. I want to know tomorrow. I want to know as close to us leaving as possible.
What if I told you we're leaving tomorrow?
You want to leave after work?
No, like in the morning, 8 in the morning.
Well, I have to work.
Well, then we can't leave tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought you had a show tomorrow night, too.
I do. Yes, but I'll be at the Ice House tomorrow night at 7:30. Anybody in the LA area in Pasadena, I'll be at the Ice House 7:30. Say my name at the door, you get in for free. So how about that? But no, we got a big trip coming up, and Allie doesn't know where we're going. This is one of the cool things. I've always been like a kind of a hopeless romantic. Although, it's weird. Okay, I'm going to open up here a lot now, okay? Like, when I was single, and especially when I was younger, I was so enamored by romantic comedies and, like, 80s movies where there was, like, a kid who got the cool girl and blah, blah, blah. And that was never me, and I always wanted it to be me. And I always said to myself, you know, when I get a girlfriend, I'm going to treat her so right, I'm going to be the romantic and blah, 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 blah. And over the years, I had had a smattering of girlfriends, a handful of girlfriends, and a couple of girls that I was into that when I had the girlfriend, I would romance them, and I was trying to get the girl, I'd romance them. But the relationship or the courting never really got past the romantic part. Like, even when the girls would break up with me, I'd still pine for them and try to do romantic things. It was never returned. So then I finally meet Allison, and at the beginning of the relationship, I was doing all this hopeless romantic stuff I always wanted to do to women. Like the first, like when I came back from 9 weeks in Sweden, I had got us a hotel room with, and I put rose petals on the bed that says, I love you. And, you know, I would take you out and blah, blah, blah. And then something amazing happened. We kind of fell into a life to where I was like, oh, I don't have to be romantic all the time. This is, she's my girlfriend now, and we've been together for a year or so. She's my wife, and not that I'm never romantic, but it definitely has waned. It definitely has, and I admit that, baby. I do admit that. So, can you say words instead of sounds?
I try to be romantic by cooking him meals
all
the
time. Oh, you're, well, that's what a wife is supposed to do. But no, I'm kidding. No. You are an incredible cook and a wonderful homemaker.
That's not like crazy romantic. I got to be romantical too. I got to like.
Yeah, guys want romance too.
I know.
Well, what I was going to say, and you can continue. You can go when I'm finished. It's just that for this anniversary, I wanted to do something very different and special and romantic. So I think I've achieved it, and I'm very excited to see what you say.
I mean, if we think about it, in the past, I've been very romantic with, because in the past, with the exception of like one or two, I've pretty much planned our trips. Like, you've done a few of them.
Yeah.
But for the most part, when it comes to like our places we're going to go, like when it came to our honeymoon or our Yosemite trip. Or
I hope you like our honeymoon place because we're going there again.
He keeps joking with me because he knows we've been to our honeymoon place like two or three times. Definitely two.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three. No, I think two. Maybe three.
We
kind of go back there a lot because it's got a hot tub right on the private balcony.
Whatever.
Anyways, it's very, very nice, but it's just we've been there all the time.
Yes.
So he keeps joking that we're going back there so that
I'm trying
like,
to throw you off.
Yeah, exactly.
But I hope you like the San Diego Zoo.
That's another inside joke, and that was actually SeaWorld. Whatever. But I still want to go one day.
But yes, you have taken the reins on a lot of trips. So this time I'm trying to show you that I still have romance in me.
Before this, the only romance you had in you was when I shoved that anal bead right in your schnuckle.
Right in my schnuckle?
In your schnuckle.
That sounds too cute. If you mean ass, that sounds way too cute.
I wanted, after saying the word shove, I didn't want to be like, asshole.
So schnuckle.
I'm going to shove it right in your schnuckle.
How do you want to do it in the schnuckle tonight?
In the schnuckle, yeah.
In the old schnuck?
Yeah, exactly. Right in your schnuck. But it's like kind of like a buckle.
Your schnuck and cranny? She has nothing to say. You just do random noises.
I just make noises. It's fun to make noises.
I think you're kind of...
Out of my mind?
Clinically slow.
Slow? I don't think it's about slow. I think it's clinically bored. So I'm constantly, like, entertaining myself.
What are you bored with?
I'm not bored with anything in general. I think my brain just always wants to be, like doing something. And at that exact moment, I made, like, a goo-gooey face.
Yeah. Like, so wait. Aside from sleep and weed, can you ever turn your brain off?
I have never been able to turn it off. I try. You know what? I'm not going to say I won't ever, because I really want to, like, study how to do meditation and whatnot. But,
Do you not like just being at peace with yourself without having to think?
I don't know how to not think. I've never done it. Like, even when I sit and I'm like...
Try to be a Republican.
Ha. Huh. Every time I sit and just try to, like... Like, they say often with meditation, like, stare at a flame. You know, that way it's, like, the focus becomes... But as I'm looking at the flame, this is what I've done every time. For, like, the full 10 minutes. I mean, they say it takes a little while. Maybe you got to just shut up and just... Mm-hmm. But every time I stare at the flame, I'm thinking 100 things about the flame. I'm like, wow, it's kind of, like, blue at the bottom. Isn't that weird that it's supposed to be, like, the hottest, right, when it's closest? And, like, all of a sudden I'll just go off and I'll have, like, a million thoughts about it. Like, wow, I wonder how, like, the first guy decided, like, did he just see, like, a... You know, fucking...
Were you stoned at the time?
No. Like, there's been times when I haven't been stoned and I just try to do it. But it's the idea that my brain has always got an idea in it. It's like always thinking. I need it to shush. I've been reading a book that talks about the mind, and it says about how you have to just shush and let it just go. Oh, this is perfect. I should have just been sitting like this. Here we go.
Again, I have a mic stand.
Meh.
You'd rather just rest the microphone on your boobs.
Yep. Very much to hold it, but...
You got nice boobs.
Oh, good. It's just Victoria keeping
my
secret. Hey, don't step on the fucking punchline.
You've said it before.
Not on here, have
yes,
I?
Yes, you have.
Have I?
Yeah.
Fuck you, buddy. Fuck you. Hey, buddy. Fuck you, buddy.
Buddy. Were you always happy with your self-image? When you were a kid and everything?
No.
No?
No, I used to be called ugly and weird all the time.
Weird, I get. How ugly?
Oh, I even remember that my mom, like, was coming with me, like, as a chaperone on a field trip. And I remember, and you've actually met the kid that said this to me. This is funny. The kid that I said, like, made fun of me so much when I was a kid. And, like, now he's, like, kind of a friend, I guess. Like, you met him.
Is this the one who spread that rumor about you?
Not as spread rumors, no. When we were young, I mean, it was like before rumor spreading. It was just like, you're ugly. You know, it was like one of those things.
Oh,
but,
well, then, yeah, kids can be cruel. We all had that.
But I was going to say, like, I would get on the bus and they'd be like, take off your mask. It's not Halloween. They'd call those, like, you know, regular jokes or whatever. Yeah. But I, for a few years, was the kid that they picked on. But then, you know, and I was also like, weird in the way I dressed. Like, I would wear two different color socks, and
you still do that?
Yeah, well, it's because it's fucking awesome. As a kid, I didn't realize that it was me being awesome and them being stupid. I was like, I'm a fucking badass, dude. I got an orange and a pink sock. What do you want? To match my orange and pink fucking outfit, I have like a pink shirt and orange shorts. Bam. So everything, like, went. I was just as much of an 80s crazed punk rock kid as a kid. But anywho, so, yeah, an image. I think we all have a destroyed image when we're kids.
Yeah. Although, you know what, I think of, because I was too. I was picked on a lot and made to. I was very shy anyway, but didn't help when kids would pick on me, whatever. But I think about the kids that were picking on me, the cool kids, the quote-unquote cool kids.
And where, like, they are today?
Well, not necessarily where they are today, but at the time, like, did it make them feel good to do that, or...
Is this the bully section of our program?
I don't know. It's just where the program went. It's like, have I ever even run into any of the old bullies from my childhood? I don't think I have. I don't know where they are. But they're all, I mean, that's the thing. When you're young, it's like, I don't know if that's a natural physiological thing where you're learning to assert dominance or assert the hierarchy within the social situation that you're in. You know, like, it's true with any animal.
I don't think it was the same when times were different, though.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I don't feel like it would be, like, back in fucking, you know, the old days, you know, of, like, peasants and stuff, that, like, one boy would come over and be like, "You're ugly!" You know, it'd be
like... I bet there was. There's that's human nature. That never changes just based on the times.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure... Kids still picked on kids back then for different reasons, you know. Even if you're in the same socio...
You have leprosy. Your limbs fall off. Oh, yeah? Well, at least I don't have to carry that many things back to the farm.
I don't know. There's a fight between some peasants.
I'm trying to think where
children.
Leprosy and farms come together.
I don't know, back in, like, the olden days.
The olden days of the leprosy and the pig.
No, I'm not talking about it in America. I'm talking about, like, you know, fucking the old wars. Like
I'd honestly rather carry shit to the farm than have leprosy, but that's me. That was a weak comeback. Yeah, I might not have a hand, but at least I don't have to carry wood to the farm. But no, it's just very interesting to think about. Like, I was, it's funny. I'm 38 now, and I look back at my life, and I could see honestly who I was. Like, it's weird. Like, I'm not sure if it's so. Like, they all talk about when you get to a certain age, you look back in your life and you really see it differently, and or for what it is. But, like, every time I would think of myself or see myself in the mirror, I'd see myself as who I was then and who I perceive myself to be. Now that I'm where I am in life and in my age, I could see myself then as who I really was. I was that awkward older brother to my younger brother. My younger brother Darren was always much cooler than me. He took up sports, and he was kind of fit in high school and college. He was a great looking kid, a good athlete, had the cool friends, and I was that geeky older brother.
Oh, baby.
No, but I see that now. It's just very interesting, because I thought I was cool. I really did. But we were actually watching some old home movies this week when my brother was here, and you saw him, honey. I think I was part of it. Like, I went, oh my, I really, because having my brother with me now, and watching these movies together, which we haven't watched together in years, I just go, holy shit, I was a geeky older brother, you know? And I look back at where I was in school, I'm like, I was the geek. I was that awkward kid, the kid who, you know, liked Transformers and brought toys to school up into middle school.
What kind of toys?
Transformers, mainly. Some other...
Till you were how old?
27 years, no. Middle school, so I guess probably around 12 or 13.
Adorable.
Yeah, garbage pail kids. Oh, I used to trade garbage pail. Like, I remember one time, this is absolutely true, I was, I guess I was 12 or 13, and me and this kid were trading Transformers at school, and this kid gave me a Transformer. It was in a brown paper bag, and we were, like, just off the side of, like, one of these buildings. And I remember an administrator goes, "You two, right there, stop!" We're like, "Oh." And the administrator thought we were dealing drugs. You know, because it's a fucking toy. It's like, even as a geek, I can't get busted. Cool.
Oh, baby.
But it's fine. Actually, it's funny. We just I just told this story for the very first time when we had our we had brunch the other day. Just talking about what a geek I was. I guess I was around 16 at the time. And my family, we always took cruises together because we lived in South Florida, so it was very easy to just go to the Fort Lauderdale, the port over there, Port of Miami, and just take cruises. We didn't have to fly anywhere to go to the ship. So we do these a lot, and we'd always go with my parents' best friends and their kids. So anyway, I'm 16 years old, and I'm at the lounge where, like, this quartet, just lounge band was playing, and I went up to him, I go, "Do you guys know any Weird Al?" And they go, no, but if you bring us a tape, we can learn the songs. I went, great. So I went and I gave them a tape that I had of a bunch of Weird Al songs. As I'm leaving, I remembered something. Before I got on the ship, I was making my mixtape of all Weird Al songs, and in the middle of it, I put like an inspirational message to myself. I got on the microphone. I said, okay, Flip, you're 16 years old. You're on this cruise. You got to get laid, man. You got to get laid. You're going to get laid on this ship. You're going to have sex. You're going to meet a girl. You're going to get laid. And that was on the tape, and I gave it to that band, and I never went back to that lounge because I'm like, I couldn't look me in the eyes after it seemed like, if they even listened to the tape, which is, I think about now, if they even listened to a tape with a kid gave one with Weird Al songs. But the fact that I even did that just shows kind of on the darker side of geek.
The fact that you at 16 years old went up to the lounge guy and asked them if they could play Weird Al.
Yeah.
That alone. I was like, oh, you're so cute. You're like 10. Oh, wait, no.
16? I was 16
like an adult. You're like an absolute. See, at 16, I'm like, I'm ready to smoke pot with my kids. And you're like, do you have Weird Al? You guys, I might get laid.
Do you guys have Weird Al? I need to get laid. Oh, and women like Weird Al.
My sweet, sweet baby.
I was a geek.
But you're a fabulous man.
I'm still a geek.
You're still a geek, but you're a fabulous man.
But I'm a geek who's reached his geek potential.
You know what? You're chic geek.
Chic geek?
You're a chic geek.
I'm a chic.
You're a hipster geek. Kind of. A little bit.
Kind of. Maybe
you're,
hipster
you're like,
geek.
You're like on the verge of hipster geek.
I'd like to think I am.
I think you're chic geek.
Chic geek?
Chic geek. You gotta say it just like that too. Chic geek.
Chic geek.
Chic geek.
Hi. Yo, what's up, chic geek? How you doing, baby?
Chic geek. Chic geek. It's kind of weird to say chic geek.
Chic geek.
Well, you know what's even better is when your voice cracks as you say
it. God.
And your puberty hasn't even hit yet.
No, I get shit caught in my throat as like little bits of something.
That's
makes
what
my voice
she said.
That's the other thing. Like I hear my voice and I still sound like I'm a fucking kid or something.
Deep voice.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Do I?
Yeah.
To me, I still hear that like nasally Jew in my voice. Because like, a lot of guys when they get older, they're like this, you know, or, hey, how are you? My name is Stan, and see, there it goes again. I got a deep voice, you know, or something like this. I haven't had that physique to allow myself to have a geek voice. It's deeper than what it was when I was a kid, but I don't know, it sounds like very nasally and flat to me, with like occasional dips into deep, but still.
That's what she said.
Funny. I don't even know if was that supposed to be an innuendo of some kind.
Well, the other I said it was a callback to what I'd said 2 seconds ago.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
Well, honey,
how long has it been?
Oh, we're about almost at 50 minutes.
McGillicuddy.
McGarnacle.
We've been talking for almost an hour.
Yeah, you believe that? This is what happens when husband and wife have no guests on their show.
Look at our princess cat.
Oh,
she's
don't
such a princess.
Point to the cat. Oh,
okay.
Don't point to the cat.
She's a princess.
But speaking of cat, I don't even know.
No. Speaking of weird people that live here.
I think you guys know what that means.
Skippy Green Show!
Allison Weber.
Oh, Skippy Puberty Green.
Puberty? God, the last time I hit puberty was when I bitch slapped some 18-year-old. She just hit puberty. She was whatever. All right, babe. It's good seeing you, by the way.
Good to see you with your clothes on.
They're not on.
Was that what you look like naked?
I actually tattooed my entire clothing on my naked body.
With the houndstooth jacket.
Yeah, look, watch when I get a hard on, my zip extends.
Ooh, I better not make you lie.
The only one lying is going to be you on your back, covered in my cum. All right, you ready?
Oh, Skippy.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You know how this works, don't you?
Something about an amount of letters?
I'm going to ask you a question. You got to answer it in 10 words, baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Not 11, not 9. 10 words. You ready?
I'm ready as I'll ever be.
If you.
The build up.
Could fuck any strain of marijuana. Which one would it be and why?
Oh my God, easy. Okay. It would be OG Kush because it fucks hard. Show. That's Skippy.
It's
Skippy.
The Skippy.
Skippy, don't leave yet. You haven't even responded. Don't leave yet.
I'm still here, you butch.
Oh, okay.
OG Kush.
It would be OG
Kush. I understand. I understand. Tell you the truth. Because it fucks hard. It's funny because I actually fuck hard in your OG Tush. And by OG, that means, oh, gee, it's your ass.
I thought that's what it looks like when you look at it, it's gaping. It looks like an O. Gee, with a little line towards my vagine.
Your vagine?
My vagine.
That sounds like an awful pair of a brand of pants. It's the OG, it's the vagines. Put them on, and then take them right off because you're fucking getting fucked.
Oh, Skippy, you're on it today.
Oh, Skippy just left.
Oh, Skippy, I'm sorry. Did I make you uncomfortable with
you
the
didn't make vagine? Me uncomfortable at all
with the vagine talk.
The vagine.
Are you contact high?
I might be. Jesus, I don't know. By the way, speaking of Skippy Green, just for anybody, actually for all three of us, if anybody, I'm just gonna do the plug right now, real quick. Anybody in the Fresno, California area on July 26th, 27th, 28th, Allison and myself and Skippy Green will be appearing down there. Allison and I will be on the 26th and 27th at oh my God, what are the venues called?
I don't know. Oh my God, I didn't
good,
know.
Good, good. You can go to my
saloon. Wait, is that one of them the saloon? That's what we did last year. Shit. Good plug, babe. Good plug. On the very next show, you will get all of the info, the pertinent Fresno info.
You could just go to the website. Go to flipisfunny.com and see all the... But anybody down there...
Or dirtyguitargirl.com.
Or dirtyguitargirl, exactly. But I was going to say, Skippy Green will be headlining. I won't even be there. Skippy Green will be headlining at Fulton's 55 on Sunday, July 28th. So that is going to be a really fun show. Anything else you want to talk about? This was a... Kind of a fun show. Talked a little about how you first smoked pot and how much we love each other and our second anniversary. Happy second anniversary,
baby.
Happy
anniversary, Mickey. We did it. We're
we
born.
Did it.
We're born.
2 years.
We were born. Did it. We were born. Our togetherness happened, and it continues to happen.
It's, you know what? I don't like that. What? We were born, if you want to use that term, born together the day we met. You're just putting the stamp on the legal moment.
Oh no, No. You're misinterpreted. When I say we were born, I mean like we as a couple, we exist. We were born.
But we existed the day that we met each other and became a couple.
Well, we were born on both days.
How could you be born on both days?
Because this is magical, honey. Duh. No, because honey, we were born.
Because honey,
smoochy,
smoochy. To get me that skinny, we was born. Meaning,
honey, boo boo, we was born.
We became born in more than one sense. See, we met each other and we were born, and then we got married and we were reborn.
We were reborn as a married couple.
We are reborn into love.
Oh.
I want to just fart on the mic really
bad. Please don't.
I won't.
But I'll tell you the honest God truth. At the same exact time, I had the same thought. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, baby, do we have ventriloquist farts?
I swear, right when you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, man, if I had to fart right now, I might do it on the mic. But
if it was silent.
Not that I wouldn't. I mean, not that I would, people listening. This
you
is
know
not
what? It's not like a direction at you. It's like I just want flip
well,
to
no,
be
it's
to
not.
Hear
it's
it.
Not just a... I could hear it even if it wasn't on the mic. Have you never been around your own farts? Your farts are awful. They're amplified.
Did
not
you
as
hear
bad
it?
As my
I just
brother's.
Did it. You didn't
no,
hear
I was talking.
Anything. Damn it.
A its own because I was talking. My brother has the worst of them all. My brother's fart actually said the word B. It was like, B. Like, I can't even describe
it. Said the word B.
I mean, like somehow his ass was able to make like, a B sound. Like, it went,
buh.
Bromp. Like, that was it. It was bromp. Like a BR. Bromp.
Bromp. B-R-O-M-P.
B-R-U-M-P.
Bromp.
Yeah, you're right. B-R-O-M-P. Bromp. That's my brother's fart.
Hilarious.
Yeah. It was hilarious to hear, not to be around and smell.
Oh, in the car, man. In the car. He's going to love. We love you and your smelly tush. Hey there, smelly tush.
Hey, noisy tush. All right, so let's pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin.
And I can't win, bet on me, that's a sin.
Where can people see you?
You can catch me at the places that Flip mentioned. And also in town in Los Angeles, July 24th. Actually, Flip and I are both performing at the Flappers Comedy Club.
That's right.
In Burbank. But we also will be on a schmidge of a hiatus for our little vacay. Mew. And
I think we'll be back in time to do another show.
Well, yeah, week. I mean. Okay. Well, you'll see me around. I'm at dirtyguitargirl.com in the meanwhile.
That's right. And again, for anybody in the Los Angeles area, tomorrow night I'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena. 7:30 show. Mention my name at the door. It's at Stage 2, the little this smaller, more intimate showroom. Mention my name there. You get in for free. Still a two-item minimum, but honestly, you get free admission, so I think it's worth it. And yeah, I'll be at Flappers in Burbank on the 17th and 24th hosting the pre-amp show. And then on the 26th, Allison and myself will be at Mother Mary's in Clovis, California. And on the 27th, we'll be at O'Sullivan's in Fresno, California. At the 28th, Fulton's 55 in Fresno. That will be Allison and Skippy Green.
Oh, and hey, Orange County, July 17th. Orange County, Huntington Beach, as well as Whittier in Los Angeles County. I'll be performing a show that night at both cities. So look me up there.
There you go. And as always, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun shit. And don't forget, Allison's movie Epic might still be in theaters. If you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. It'll be out on DVD and Blu-ray soon. And you guys have been fantastic.
We love you.
We do love you. And we seriously thank you for all your constant support and love. And we will see you next week.
Yay, mew. What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
Now
what's
it doesn't play. Dinner? What the fuck?
Talking about what's for dinner. Dinner.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
I love you, baby.
Me and you.
Talking
love
about
you.
What's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.